is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is God So Loved. The knowledge of the plan of God takes the sting out of death. How far-reaching is the love of God? What is the destiny of all the millions who have died in ignorance of God's love and of the provision of salvation He has made through His Son, Christ Jesus? But first, these programs are brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine in cooperation with local Bible study groups, and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. So, Ed, again, how far-reaching is God's love?
Thank you, Russell, for such a wonderful question. How far-reaching is the love of God? It reminds me of the words of an unknown poet who wrote, "The love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. But men make God's love too narrow by false limits of their own, and they magnify His vengeance with a zeal He will not own."
Very good. But what would you say is the most convincing evidence we have that the Creator really loves His human creation?
The Bible gives us a direct answer to your question, Russell, in what is probably the best-known text in the entire Word of God. It is that wonderful passage, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The more we analyze the depth of meaning contained in this passage, the greater becomes our appreciation of the love of God.
Wonderful, Ed, and how beautifully it emphasizes that divine love is manifested through giving. Just as the Creator's love is seen in His provision of the sunshine and the rain, even so, in a much grander way, it is seen in the gift of His Son to make everlasting life possible for all who believe. What a question that comes up right here. Just how universal is the love of God in this connection, in view of the limitation that is so clearly stated in that text that you have just quoted? The text states that only those who believe in Christ will have everlasting life, and that all the remainder of mankind will perish. Does the Bible help us out any in this respect?
I think I know what you have in mind. You're wondering possibly about all the millions who have died without an opportunity to believe in Christ.
That is the point, Ed. If only those who believe in Christ are truly benefited by God's love, is His love as far-reaching as you have said that it is?
One of the false limits we have unwittingly placed on God's loving provision of salvation through Christ is that the opportunity to believe is restricted to this present brief span of imperfect life.
And by saying that, you are implying that there will be an opportunity to believe in Christ in the next life.
That's just what I implied, and that is just what the Scriptures clearly teach.
And you are very sure of that, aren't you, Ed?
Indeed I am. Take, for example, the inhabitants of those two wicked cities that God destroyed at the time of Abraham.
Yes, I know the ones you mean. They're Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's right. God destroyed them because they were so wicked. Yet Jesus said that it would be more favorable for them in the day of judgment, or more tolerable for them, than it would be for those who had an opportunity to believe on him but did not.
Well, of course, Ed, the Sodomites had no opportunity to believe in Christ.
Well, that's right, Russell. In God's plan of salvation, an opportunity, a full and impartial opportunity, is provided for all to believe in Christ. If that opportunity is not given in this life, then it will be in the next, that is, in the future day of judgment.
Why, Ed, do you mean to say that in the judgment day, people will be given an opportunity to believe in Christ?
That's what the Bible teaches. In Isaiah 26:9, we read that when God's judgments are abroad in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. And the Apostle Paul informs us that God will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And the great truth which they will all have an opportunity to learn, he explains, is that the man Christ Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. Then he adds that the testimony concerning this great gift of divine love will be given to all in due time.
But isn't it true that one has to have a knowledge of Christ in order to be saved?
Certainly, and God has provided for that in the thousand-year judgment day.
It will be then, in the judgment day, that the knowledge of Christ's atoning work will be made known to all. That is what you are saying.
Yes, it will be then that the knowledge of the glory of God and the love of God will fill the whole earth as the waters cover the sea.
That is really a very lovely way to look at it, Ed. However, if I remember correctly, there is a text in the New Testament which asserts that now is the day of salvation.
That's the second verse of the sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians, and it reads, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation."
Doesn't that limit the opportunity for salvation to the present span of life?
Not at all, Russell. The apostle is not referring to the lifespan of individuals when he speaks of the day of salvation. Rather, he is speaking of the present age in the divine plan and to the opportunity of a special salvation that is extended to all true followers of Christ during this gospel age or day, as he calls it in this text.
What do you mean by the expression special salvation?
According to the scriptures, the divine plan provides for two rewards, one for the church and one for the world. That which is being offered to believers now is a spiritual reward, a heavenly one. This reward is glory, honor, and immortality, and the privilege of reigning with Christ during the thousand years of his reign.
And it will be during that 1,000 years that the remainder of mankind will be enlightened and given an opportunity of salvation through Christ. That is what you're saying.
That's right. And it will be a salvation to that which was lost through sin, that is, to life on earth as human beings.
And that's the other reward of salvation that you spoke of.
Correct.
Ed, that is a wonderful point of view in expressing God's love. And as you said in the beginning, if the people of all nations were governed by such a principle, it would quickly solve the problems of the world. Just imagine a world in which everyone would continually be seeking opportunities to do things for others. And yet, that is the true spirit of Christianity, isn't it? There is no getting away from that.
Right, and besides, it is the secret of true happiness. This is what Jesus meant when he said it, that it's more blessed to give than to receive.
You believe that the whole family of man will eventually be governed by this unselfish principle of love.
Yes, indeed. The scriptures assure us that this will be the blessed result of the reign of Christ.
Was that what Jesus meant when he taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven"? Well, if it is, let's hope that this prayer will soon be answered.
It will be. And now will you tell our listeners about the gift book, God and Reason, that it's free to them?
I will, Ed. Friends, I know personally that God and Reason truly does enhance man's appreciation of the love of God, that love which is indeed broader than the measure of man's mind that you spoke of. Furthermore, from the prophecies of the Bible, God and Reason proves that Christ's kingdom of peace and joy and life is near, just as you have indicated. To give you an idea of the subject matter treated in God and Reason, here are a few of the questions which we invite you as our listeners to consider. Is there hope for those who have died without accepting Christ? How will the dead be judged? How and when will God's law of love become operative in the hearts of all mankind? How do we know that true Christianity will eventually be victorious? You may wonder how so many subjects could be discussed in one little book. Well, you will just have to get God and Reason and read it for yourself. And why not? A free copy is waiting for you. All you have to do is ask for it. To obtain your copy of God and Reason, simply address a card or a letter to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City, and ask for God and Reason. May I repeat for your convenience, the address to which you send for God and Reason is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for God and Reason, and it will be mailed to you free and without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.